It's episode 142 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm your host, Doug.
And I'm Dirty A. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
And on this episode, we'll be discussing the films The Circle and Colossal. You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast@gmail.com or on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com, or look for us on iTunes and YouTube and subscribe, or head on over to Facebook, search for The Hodgepodge Podcast, and like our page. And we are a few days away, 2 days away, from Guardians of the Galaxy 2 as we record this. So by the time this comes out, that movie will probably be out.
We will have seen all the greatness.
We'll have seen it. The reviews are good for it. We talked about that last time. But I don't think there's any really a lot of new reviews, because I think most of the reviews came from the overseas screenings and stuff like that. But they did have screenings here, because I think Collider had their review out, didn't they? Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they did.
So they did have screenings around here, in America. I mean, by around here, I mean America. So, yeah. And Fast and the Furious, as predicted, is still king of the box office. It's already made
over a billion.
$1 billion. My God.
Fuck you people. Fuck you people. Go see that. I watch shit. It's fine. But just not my thing.
Our last episode was our summer movie preview. And we just watched the trailer for one of the movies that I'm really excited for. Which is Kumail Nanjiani's The Big Sick. Kumail's from Silicon Valley, and he's a stand-up comedian. You've seen him around. You've seen him in movies if you've seen any recent comedies. But he's most known from Silicon Valley. And he wrote it with his wife. Looks good. Looks funny.
Yeah, very funny. The trailer.
Yeah.
The trailer
was funny. It also stars Holly Hunter, Zoe Kazan as the love interest, and Ray Romano. And Holly Hunter and Ray Romano play her parents. So looks good. I also wrote about it in my summer movie preview, which I just posted today. Finally. Got it out before Guardians. Mission accomplished.
It's not the summer yet, so it's fine.
Mission accomplished. As long as I beat the first movie I talk about.
Is that even technically a summer movie? I mean, it's the
beginning of May. I know, but it's technically... That's... I mean, you could say...
That's the borderline.
It used to be Memorial Day summer movie season started, but now it's become the beginning of May, and I want to say that started with Iron Man. No, it was before that. It was like X-Men and Spider-Man. Like, Spider-Man started coming out, like the Sam Raimi Spider-Man started coming out, like, in the beginning of May, and I think that's what started it. And then X-Men... It was like Spider-Man, then X-Men 2, and then Marvel just kind of took that fucking day. And then Marvel Studios said, one side, we're taking this. Right. We're taking this. Also, part of my preview and what we talked about last time is already obsolete, because it looks like The Dark Tower is going to make its release date, hopefully. The trailer is...
I mean, as of now.
Yeah, the trailer is due out tomorrow.
Yeah, they're releasing the trailer.
And they of course, have the hated teasers for the trailer. Which are out today.
Very stylistic.
Yeah, yeah. For the
14 seconds of pop you saw.
Yeah, I know, yeah, I know, right. Right. And I also think there's a new trailer for Dunkirk due this week. At the end of the week. I think they said it's going to be with Guardians, maybe?
Okay.
I can't remember. Yeah, so that'll pop up. But yeah. Oh, and then we did find out that our movie that we talked about, Three Billboards... in wherever the hell it is, isn't it St. Louis or something? Missouri. Yeah, that movie from the guy who did In Bruges, and Martin McDonagh, who did In Bruges and Seven Psychopaths, and apparently he didn't do Calvary either. That was the guy that did The Guard.
That's what we're saying. That's what. Right. He did.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
So the guy who did
when
The Guard
you said
did
that,
Calvary.
I wondered about that. Yeah, but yeah. Because we did. I did fact check The Guard because I looked at it. Yeah, you're right.
So he did Calvary and The Guard, and then
they're all Scots.
Martin McDonagh did Seven Psychopaths.
Whatever. They're the Scots.
And that is going to be coming out in October. I just saw an article from like that middle of April that they said that. So maybe the trailer we saw was cut before that.
Right.
They put it was going to come out in August. But either way, I'm looking forward to that one. It looks good. It looks really good.
Logan gets its release next
week. Is it
the
next
23rd.
Week? The 23rd of May, Logan comes out on Blu-ray, which has got to be Split was pretty fast too. Split came out last month?
Yeah, but that was still like
January.
4 months.
No, it was January. So it was 3 months probably.
Yeah, 3 months. But this is like two months and two weeks.
That's gotta be the fastest turnaround I've ever seen. And it's not like, I mean, you would think that like because of that happening, you'd be like, oh man, Logan tanked, but it didn't. It made over $600 million worldwide. Nah, so
I think these studios realize
they gotta strike
fast. They can get more bang for the buck
if
they hurry it out from the theaters versus wait 6 months.
Right.
You know, after the first few weeks, the theater draw is slows down anyway. So I think with the new media outlets that people have, I think they're realizing that they need to be a lot quicker on prevent pirating stuff.
Right, yeah. And as Dirty A was getting to, Logan is going to they're going to have the black and white version.
Who cares?
Which
you,
Matt and
God
I
damn you people.
Which Matt and I wanted desperately.
I'm sorry, but it's a fucking superhero movie. It's not supposed to be that stylized.
No, I know, but I mean, but all the photos he released were like these beautiful black and white pictures of like of the movie.
Get
like,
out of
you
here!
Know,
get out of here!
It looked great, and they're actually going to put that version in the theater for one night,
one day. Yeah.
But I think it's only with. I thought I read it was only for Alamo Draft House Theater, so we're not.
Oh, really?
See it. Yeah,
oh.
Which is horseshit. But literally, like the next week, it comes out on Blu-ray, so and it'll be on the Blu-ray.
I'm not saying it won't look good. I'm just saying I don't know why you're clamoring for it. Like
it screams for it.
Jeez Louise. It's a fucking Wolverine. It's not the fucking Citizen Kane.
That's right.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
No.
Yes, it is. Sabretooth.
He's Rosebud.
He's Rosebud. That's what I was going to say. Sabretooth. Yeah, so that comes out in a couple weeks. So.
A few weeks.
Yay. Yeah, 3 weeks. Three weeks from today.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. All right. So let's get into these movies. I guess we'll start with The Circle. A movie that I was really looking forward to until I saw the
reviews. Were you really like that much?
I thought the trailer was cool. I thought it would be a cool story. And to be honest, I saw, I was working this past weekend and we had the TV on. They are really not telling the truth with how they're selling this movie. Like they're selling it like as like
I don't think they know how to sell this movie. How do you sell it?
They're trying to sell it like it's like this like
a thriller,
like a fucking thriller.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no.
But how do you sell it? Because it's nothing. We'll get into that,
right?
But yeah, I wasn't looking forward to it. Like I think I even said that on here. Like I'll go see it, but nothing about it drew me in.
Yeah.
To the story, and my instincts were right on that one.
Yeah, you were. It's not
this
good.
Shit. The pot. I mean, it was real.
It really
I mean.
Isn't good.
I never thought it would be this bad. I thought it would just be kind of run of the mill. This was just shit.
Yeah, it was garbage.
Every bit of it.
The
screenwriters ought to be fucking quartered.
Well, that's the thing. It's based on a Dave Eggers novel, and that was like a bestseller. And the director James Ponsoldt and Dave Eggers worked on the screenplay.
The Arthur wrote the fucking. Yeah. Help write the screenplay. You'd think it would be better, or you'd think you'd see reports of him saying, "This is not what I wrote."
Now the book, I haven't read the book, but I read the Wikipedia after we saw the movie, and it's fairly similar. It follows a lot of like the same trajectory and all that kind of stuff. It feels like there are more thriller elements in it that they didn't put in the movie, but also. The main character played by Emma Watson is actually more despicable by the end of the movie, the book, than she is in the movie.
Right.
Because in the end of the movie, they kind of like...
Which actually is... That happens a lot of the case. They normally...
No, that's true.
They normally
like,
tone down characters.
That's
a common thing.
Right. Like the most glaring
Especially, example, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, the most glaring example for me of something like that is like The Firm, where, yeah, where the end of the book, he never tells his wife that he cheated on her. He gets away with all the money. He doesn't go back to law. But in the movie, it's like, we got to make him a real good guy. Yeah. You know, he's a real go-getter good guy.
Yeah, exactly. They need to give you someone to root for. In this one,
right,
they really do, because there's no one.
Yeah.
This doesn't have a, this really doesn't have a protagonist in this. There's,
well, I mean, she is, but it's, but it's,
this misses so many of this lacks so many of the key elements in storytelling,
right?
That it just baffled me that it made it
out
the way it did.
Yeah. So the story focuses on this company called The Circle, which is essentially Google, Apple, and Facebook all in one company, essentially.
Yeah, it's like the techiest super company you can imagine. Right,
and then it follows Emma Watson's character, May, who, how she's connected to Karen Gillan's character. Like, in the book, they said they went to college together, but I'm just like, but how is she, like, how is Karen Gillan's character, like, one of the most powerful people at this company, and then she's working at the water company?
But honestly, it's like, that part is fine to me, because that happens in real life.
It does.
You don't have to tread that ground if you don't want to.
No, that's true, but it does. But it seemed like she was like, I can understand if she worked for the company and she was just like being more successful than her. But she's like very important in this company. It's like, didn't you just like get out of college? It's like, what?
She's like part of the inner circle.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, that doesn't jibe with, you know, how old they're supposed to be.
No, not at all.
But,
you also, but also it's a tech company. So they get fresh blood.
That's true. That's true. So, Emma Watts, Karen Gillan's character, Annie, gets, Emma Watson a job at The Circle, and she goes into like customer experience, you know, customer service.
Yeah, it's like troubleshooting,
right?
The first line of troubleshooting,
right? Kind of thing. And they have like this whole like algorithm and stuff like that, where they have to keep their scores high and stuff like that. And she's stressing out about that. And then her friend Annie is basically burning the candle at both ends. And like this place is like, Tom Hanks is like the Steve Jobs type character, who is
CEO,
like
CEO and innovator.
He's like the face of the company. Yeah. I would say Patton Oswalt is the Jeff Bezos. He's more of the nuts and bolts guy. He's the
business guy.
And then there's the innovator guy. You know, the guy who comes up with all the dreams.
Well, okay, right. I would say
Tom Hanks is more the marketer.
He's the marketer. He's like the innovation.
Right. He's like Steve Jobs was. He was the marketer for them. And that character is played by John Boyega.
Yeah, I mean,
not for, really though.
Right. Like he was the innovator on Facebook. He was Mark Zuckerberg. Right. He's Mark Zuckerberg.
Exactly.
He created True You, which is this movie's version of Facebook.
Right. And then basically he created he created True You and The Circle and all this kind of stuff, and then these guys took it.
And then they do a shoddy job of trying to explain how all this works in their version of social media, like with the likes and dislikes. But in this version, it's emoji. It's all emoji based.
Right. And he and now he is more like a reclusive guy at the company, but yet he really wants to get involved in Emma Watson's life for some reason.
Yeah,
I knew I could trust you as soon as I met you.
Well, first problem with this encounter is,
it's just
we know he's the Mark Zuckerberg.
Right, exactly. So
you already know that no matter how reclusive he is, he's a face people will recognize. Yet she goes up to him and just no idea who he is. Yeah. And then later on he's like, oh, wait, you didn't know who I was?
Yeah.
And she's like, I have no idea. Bullshit. If you're that guy, everyone knows what you look like.
Yeah, everybody knows what Mark Zuckerberg looks like. And if not, then you're just bothering Jesse Eisenberg.
And we're talking about for the 5 minutes he's on screen, because this is...
Yeah, he's barely in this movie.
You
can tell they cut his part a lot in this.
They cut a lot of parts.
Yeah.
Well, not only parts, but storylines. They just slashed whole storylines in here.
So Emma Watson's character, in the book, he is her ex-boyfriend, but they don't really...
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, you don't really get that feeling. It seems like he just...
Oh, well, he clearly is not, because they meet at the...
Not him. I'm talking about Mercer.
Oh, Mercer. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
But I didn't even get that vibe from him. I thought he was just like some childhood friend or something
In this movie, they certainly didn't set it up like boyfriend, girlfriend. It was more Mercer has always had a crush on her,
right,
but she has always kind of eluded his advances. Right.
And her parents, played by Glenn Headley and Bill Paxton. And Bill Paxton's maybe his last role.
He was great.
He was good in this. He was good. He plays a guy who has MS.
Oh, my God. And, I mean, that one
when they're at dinner.
Picnic party scene. Oh, that was like, I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, that was sad. But Mercer is played by Eller Coltrane, and if that name sounds familiar to you, it's because
First of all, it doesn't sound familiar to anybody.
You saw Boyhood, and I joked with Dirty A that this movie is the stealth sequel to Boyhood, and they should have just called him Mason.
Right. he's the anti-establishment, right. Recluse guy who kind of
won't go on social media, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and he is a terrible actor, and
he really is.
He's a terrible actor.
Just why is he on the screen?
And I'm just like, why is this kid in this movie? Because I'm just like, Boyhood. It's like, okay, you had no choice.
Right. It's like, it's like we get what you were trying to do there. You had no choice but to use that same kid actor for 12 years. We get it. We now know that he's not a good actor.
There's plenty of guys his age in Hollywood that could have been in this movie to play that part. Yeah. It's like, doesn't make any sense.
Anyway,
so there's all kinds of like crazy crap going on in this movie. Like one part focuses on what's going on in her home life. One part focuses on what's going on with her business, you know,
I'd say out of focus.
That's true. and then there's like this, then the John Boyega character brings this like conspiracy theory thing that never comes to fruition.
No.
Or if it does, it happens all off screen, basically. And
where the focus should have been.
Yeah, it's where the focus should have been, if you're going to call it a thriller too. Yeah. Then she breaks the law by stealing a kayak, which apparently in this movie is the biggest offense ever in the history of man. And then these little cameras that they make, what do they call them? I forget what they called them, the camera.
Sea Change.
Sea Change. Thank you. Yeah, Sea Change. These little cameras.
Which, by the way, worst name ever. Like, that's a terrible name for cameras or anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the new, that's the thing that they're marketing now.
And
that's,
it seems like they come up with something every week.
That's the iPhone that they have thrown out into the environment now. And it's basically just a very small camera that can be placed on your body. It can be placed on your person. It can be placed anywhere. And it comes in different colors, so it can be incognito.
Camouflage, yeah. Yeah. And then it has like a satellite uplink,
right?
So it can send like this clear
streaming video.
Super video, you know, to that you can watch on the Circle, or what is it, True You?
Yeah.
And so because these cameras, like, there's like a camera like on a buoy somewhere, I guess, somehow, and she gets saved because she goes out kayaking at night.
Yeah,
so on the you know, like, an idiot.
The light on the last buoy was broken, so she didn't know she was paddling out too far.
Right,
and she gets stuck in the current.
Right. Well, she gets stuck in the shipping lanes too.
Yeah,
because a boat.
Well, yeah,
her.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, so she's saved by a police helicopter comes in, right, and saves her, and
they said Sea Change saved you.
And so Tom Hanks turns her into Tom Hanks, whatever his name is,
Tom Hanks.
Yeah. He uses her as a big marketing ploy,
right?
For not just Sea Change, but for the company as a whole.
And so then she like, so what happens is she wears one of these cameras all day, every day, and basically her life is just like an open book on
social media,
and like they come up with like the thing that like privacy is theft, because you're stealing experiences from people who can't experience them.
She says that in some kind of inner corporate interview, and they take that and run with it as a whole concept.
Right. And it's just, and you watch her just like basically drink the Kool-Aid of this company and just become like this like zombie. Like
she
this
does
drone.
The exact opposite of what she says she's going to do earlier, which she's making fun of people who drink the Kool-Aid with John Boyega earlier.
Right.
And now she has become the poster child for that.
And then, spoiler alert, they come up with this this other thing where they can track people down. Like, it's like a database where they can track people down. And so then they track down this criminal, this woman who's on the lam, and they capture her, like, in real time, basically. And then they say, oh, well, let's find somebody who's not a criminal. And
you glossed over the part. You skipped the part where her and Mercer are now on the outs.
Right.
So the whole The whole point is...
Oh, yeah, because she... Right, cause
she used social right. media to promote these antler chandeliers that he was making. And people started calling him a deer killer, and right. all the activists got on him, and he got mad at her for doing that. Right. And he's like, I know you meant well, but I don't want to be part of your
circle.
Social... Yeah, you're part of your... I don't want to be part of your social experiment.
Right.
So don't leave me out of it. So they kind of weren't friends anymore.
Right.
And so, yeah, during this promotional thing, they after they find the
fugitive, killer, the lady. Yeah.
Now go ahead.
Now the audience, which are all Circle people that work there, because it's like these like tech meetings that Steve Jobs would have.
Right.
You know, these inner company presentations, basically. Except these people have every week.
And it just so happens that this one is pretty much broadcast to everyone because she's
wearing the thing, right.
Yeah.
And so then they say, oh, find Mercer. And she's like, no, let's not do that. And they go, and then Patton Oswalt's and you're going, you have to do this. And so then they go and find Mercer, and then he drives off a bridge. Because
yeah, so when we say find Mercer, it's not like they're looking through databases. What right. they do is they send it out to people
right.
who are supposed to scope somebody. Or,
right, with their cameras.
With their cameras. Right. So you have people on the hunt for Mercer.
Right.
And they finally found him, and he tried to escape, run away from them,
right.
and then drove off a bridge. And
instead of just saying...
He did not live.
Instead of just saying safely locked in his house,
yeah,
which I think was fine.
I don't know why he decided... Anyway, he dies.
He dies.
And she, of course...
And that shakes her out of her yeah. thing. In the book, apparently, not so much. She's just like, oh, yeah, I guess he was very disturbed. And then she just keeps on like...
Well, because that's like, what they say. That's right, they keep hammering right. home that he was just a guy who didn't want to be on social media.
Right.
But they start lightly touting that, you know, we can save more disturbed individuals.
Right,
it's like,
exactly.
This guy wasn't disturbed.
Right.
Like,
and then the other thing is, and then what happens after that is then they start thinking about how they can use this true you to... basically make people
that
vote.
That was before, was it not?
Was no, that, no before, that was after.
Was that was
after
he died,
okay. yeah.
Okay.
To make people vote.
And she goes off the rails
oh,
in that
she goes,
meeting.
Yeah.
She's like, she basically creates...
Maybe it was before. Maybe
it was
before.
It was before.
I can't remember.
The last thing was
right,
that.
Right,
so this was before. But she goes on a fucking rail when talking about, oh, well, what if we take it one step further and make... Everyone has to vote, and
right.
you have to use True
right.
You to vote.
Yeah.
And she basically creates a registration system for everyone in the
yeah.
country that's owned by this company.
Sounds
so
like...
it's like Nazi.
Right.
Nazi
right.
Nazi
yeah.
Germany,
yeah. It's like dictatorship stuff.
But... And meanwhile, her friend, played by Karen Gilliam...
Right.
She's gone off the rails because she's just overworked.
Right.
And she's also...
popping pills and stuff.
She's popping pills, but she's also got this jealous vibe that,
yeah,
you know, her friend is
she's becoming the
becoming
rising
the,
star,
the yeah. big deal. But they don't address that whole storyline hardly at all.
Barely.
Like they gloss over it when they're in the bathroom
everything.
Together.
Yeah,
and they talk about how you know how you've been doing and what's happened. But they don't show any of it, so you don't get invested in any of it.
Right.
You don't give two shits about what's going on in any relationship in this movie.
Right.
It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. You
right.
don't care. And by the end of the movie, I'm left wondering what happened. The very end of the movie when
right.
she's in the kayak again and the
yeah.
little... I'm like, well, okay, what's been resolved? What hasn't been resolved?
I think she got them removed, I guess, from the company or something like that, because she basically
but
exposed.
You don't know that.
I know, but she exposed Tom Hanks and
yeah,
Patton
she exposed
Oswalt.
Them. But you oh, so we haven't gotten to that part yet. But so what happens is
she tricks them. Basically,
she tricks them into this. They're holding another one of their intercompany conferences, and you know she's coming. She's like first week back from Mercer being killed. So
right.
she's pretty upset.
Right.
And but she kind of shows up on stage at this event unbeknownst to them. And then she tricks Tom Hanks's character and Patton Oswalt's character on stage and then says, "Why don't we get you guys involved in this whole
being transparent.
Transparent
yeah.
movement?" And she, you know, she puts cameras on them and she goes, "Oh, and by the way, I've got my buddy referring to John
Boyega.
To share all your emails from all your email accounts
right.
to everybody on True You." And then, of course, you hear, you know, Tom Hanks leans over to Patton Oswalt's like, "We're fucked."
Yeah.
And then that's it. And then that's it. And then cut to her in a kayak with
drones
flying over her, and she gives some weird expression.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were trying to be avant-garde about that. Like, this is a thinker. Why don't you? We'll leave it open-ended as to what you think happens. But I don't care. I didn't care.
Right.
Because you didn't set up a real conflict in this movie.
Right.
And the whole movie felt passé. It felt old. Like, the whole idea of it felt old. Even though it's this new social media that they're trying to tout, the whole idea of it felt just very dated.
Mm. Yeah, it's not good.
No, it's not. It's not. I was disappointed.
Yeah.
Even for me being uninterested.
Yeah, I was expecting a thriller where Tom Hanks was going to be like this techno villain, and it's just like...
an antitrust type of... Which is another movie, if you recall, with...
I think I saw Antitrust.
Ryan Phillippe and... Mm. Who was the... Tim Robbins.
Right.
And he comes into a tech company and gets embroiled in this... espionage type thing, gets involved with the FBI and stuff.
Right.
And that's a better movie. It's not even that great, but that's a better movie. At least you have a conflict there.
Right, yeah.
You really don't have a conflict here. Yeah. What they should have done with this movie is put the whole issue with Mercer, including his death, in the middle of the movie instead of the end of the movie.
Right, yeah.
And then that becomes her internal driving conflict push and pull. Then you have her really discussing it with John Boyega,
right?
Hatch a plan,
right?
As opposed to this, whatever they do in this movie,
yeah,
it was really dumb.
Yeah, not good.
You know what? Don't see it.
Yeah, we talk about this movie for 15 minutes. Yeah. Don't see it. Let's talk.
Our
about
new segment is just called Black and White. We just see it or not see it.
Let's talk about a movie you should go see. This is a movie that is more than likely not playing anywhere near you because it's very, very limited release. But it debuted last year, but it only started really hitting theaters recently. And that is Colossal.
I would guess it debuted at Fantastic Fest in Austin.
I'd
only guess that because of the director who has big ties to that film festival.
This is Colossal, and it is directed by Nacho Vigalondo.
Yeah.
And he wrote it as well. And it stars Anne Hathaway and Jason Sudeikis and Tim Blake Nelson. And Dan Stevens, who seems to be popping up everywhere. He's in Beauty and the Beast. He's in Legion. He's in, I think, was he in the... No, I thought he might be in one of the 50 Shades movies, but I don't think he's in that. Maybe he is. I can't remember. But he seems to be popping up all over the place. And the story with this one is that Anne Hathaway is a party girl who was laid off from her job. And she lives in New York with her boyfriend, played by Dan Stevens. And he basically has had enough of her shit. And he basically throws her out. And she goes back home. Did they ever say where she lived? Did they ever say where home was for her?
I don't know that they specifically say where it was.
So she goes back to her old house. Her parents are not there because they're at some beach house, I guess, I think she said, or something like that.
Yeah, but I never got the feeling that whether that was truth or not.
Oh, maybe that was false. But she goes to her old house, which has no furnishing in it at all, and she basically goes there to try and get her shit together, and she's doing a very poor job of it, and she runs into a childhood friend, played by Oscar, played by Jason Sudeikis. And he owns his father's bar.
Yep. Real nice guy.
Yeah, real nice guy. He wants to help her out and all this kind of stuff. He gives her furniture and a TV that he doesn't need and all this kind of stuff.
Gives her a job.
Gives her a job, yeah. Gives her a part-time job at the bar. And basically what happens is that this movie is...
Chronologically, it's hard to talk about.
It's hard to talk about chronologically, yeah. but it's really kind of like two movies in one. Basically,
yeah.
The sci-fi aspect of this movie, which is funny, which is very funny, is that there's this monster, like a kaiju type monster, that's been showing up in Seoul, South Korea.
Well, it showed up like 25 years ago.
It showed up 25 years ago, and then it hasn't reappeared until now.
Right.
And what happens is, and this is in the trailer, so we're not giving anything away. through a series of events, Anne Hathaway realizes that she is the monster.
Well, she controls the monster. Almost like an avatar.
Right. She avatar.
Oh.
But she controls the monster.
Yeah.
And
so it literally only appears at a very specific time frame.
Right.
And it will also appears if she's at this specific place at that time.
Right, exactly.
So otherwise that's you figure out after, you know, an hour plus in this movie.
Right.
That's why the monster hasn't been seen for 25 years is because the last time she was in that town was when she was a little girl.
Right. Also the area where they were, where the monster appeared, was fenced off.
So
when she grew up, it was after she left that it became the park. It
became developed as a park for children.
Right.
I also found it odd though that I know they tried to explain it away as it was before social media and everything, but you know, they said that 25 years ago it was played out as a hoax. The whole monster appeared, but because she didn't remember it happening, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure everyone in the world would remember if a monster ever appeared.
Right.
But I mean, you could argue that at that time it was real quick and it didn't destroy anything.
And they only had one picture of it.
Yes.
And it was a kind of shadowy picture.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's one story. The other story is her trying to get her life together and how her relationship with Oscar, Jason Sudeikis, kind of goes to like this metamorphosis and kind of how it evolves. Yeah. And
the whole movie really is about control.
Right.
The two sides of control.
Right.
So you have her being able to control this monster.
Right.
But then you have her being manipulated and controlled by these exterior forces.
Right.
In this case, her ex-boyfriend.
Right.
And now currently Jason Sudeikis. Because while he appears originally to be a really nice guy, just helping her out, it's also clear that he's enabling her alcoholic behavior.
Right, yeah.
He acts like he doesn't know. It doesn't really discuss this in the movie, but he acts like he doesn't know she's an alcoholic when it's very clear she's an alcoholic.
Right.
And he hires her to work at his bar where they stay late every night and drink.
And drink, yeah.
Yeah.
And while the kaiju stuff is funny and it's cute, this movie goes to some really dark places. Yeah. I mean, it gets real dark.
Tonally, this is very much in line with what he does. Nacho does with his movies. He's did a movie back in the early 2000s called Time Crime.
Okay.
And then one you should really check out, which I thought was pretty good, called Extraterrestrial, which is almost the lighter side of a movie like this.
Oh, okay.
In that. It takes a serious matter of these aliens invading the planet and turns it into this funny thing that plays out amongst these people.
Okay.
So it's almost the flip side of a movie like this.
Gotcha. I don't want to spoil anything, really, because...
How do we talk about without?
I guess not. How about we
just cut it off? You put a marker here.
Right. And so we'll say spoiler alert, major spoilers going forward. And basically, what happens is that they find out that Jason Sudeikis can also control an avatar in Korea, and his is a robot, like a Jaeger from Pacific Rim, basically.
So yeah, in one of their drunken episodes after work, she basically wants to let them know the people at the bar. So Jason Sudeikis and his couple friends. She wants to kind of show them what's going on. I also thought the time frame in this felt weird because it's 8:05 is when this thing happens. It's always very dark.
Right.
And then they step outside and all of a sudden it's light. It's like, not when sunrise happens.
I know. The only thing I'm thinking, there was one time where it was very stark, where it was like dark when they left and it was light when they got to the park. But it wasn't like super light outside, but also I think it was fall going into winter too.
I'm just thinking the 8:05 nowhere is that sunrise. So it's odd. But anyway, I digress. So she takes them out to the park to show them what's happening, and Jason Sudeikis like just goes to to, like, in his holy shit moment, goes to stand next to her and talk to her. And then he realizes,
they're watching it live on the internet. They're
watching it live on the internet. And then, no, that's not how it happened. Oh, no, because she blacked out.
Right.
She blacked out. And then you find out the next day, well, you know, she thought she killed people. She did. She killed people.
Right.
And she was freaking out about that. And then Jason Sudeikis lets her know, well, that's not all that happened. And then shows her the picture of the two of them as the robot and monster together. And he's like, I can do it too.
Yeah. And apparently his character has been very resentful of her character because she seemed to, like, when they were younger, like, he talks about how she was a writer and how she would win all these awards or whatever, and
he felt got like nothing. In the shadow.
Right, felt like in her shadow.
Although, I'll say this, it's less about her character. He's just resentful of his own life.
Oh, right, yeah, right, yeah. Right, right.
He
right.
just hates himself. Well, she kind of mentions that in there, but
right.
it is her, but it's pretty much anyone who comes into his life.
Right, yeah.
He ends up resenting.
That's true. No, yeah. That's true. That's true. And he kind of a hoarder.
yeah.
The house was a mess.
He's got a problem. I mean, that's where the furniture came from that she kept getting, because he hoarded all this shit.
Right.
Who knows where it came from, but...
I thought they were going to find out, like, when he came to the house, like, after they were on the outs, I thought they were going to find out, like, he owned the house or something like that.
Yeah,
I thought that something like that was going to happen.
So here's a question for you.
Right.
The scene where she goes into his house to talk to him after a big altercation.
Yes.
It shows a picture scratched out.
Right.
Was that his mom and she's holding him, or was that the ex?
I think it's
that's what I thought. Okay. The person I saw the movie with thought it looked like an older picture and it was his mom.
No, I think it was an ex-wife. And I think he has a kid somewhere that he doesn't see.
Well, he mentioned it. He mentioned how he had an ex-wife who already had a kid.
He did.
Yeah.
That's right. He did. That's right.
That's why I thought that's who that was.
Right.
And they left. They left him.
Did he say she was an ex-wife or just an ex?
She lived with him. Ex-girlfriend who lived with him, but she had a kid and they raised it together.
That's right.
And then she left and we soon after that find out why she left.
Yeah. Because he is not a nice guy.
He's been masking, like, being the biggest dick in the world. Yeah, like, it's overnight.
I mean, like, sociopath type stuff.
Yeah, very much so.
He's very much a sociopath. And,
and it's, he basically, like, doesn't want her to leave. So as soon as he gets a whiff of she may leave or go lead or go try to fulfill becoming a better person or getting a better life, he basically starts trying to prevent her from leaving.
Right.
And he basically uses the fact that he says, if you leave this town, I will start killing people.
And as the robot.
As the robot. I will be here every morning and I will crush the town every single morning.
Which is fucked up.
So he basically kidnaps her in a way.
Right.
Holds her blackmails hostage.
Blackmails her.
And he literally, he physically abuses her.
Yeah, like,
he punches her.
It's no joke.
It's not just emotional abuse. He's abusive all around.
Right, yeah.
And then her ex-boyfriend shows up to try to get her back. It's claiming he's missing her.
Right.
So now she's got this tug of war from two guys that are trying to control her.
Right, yeah.
Of course, the ex-boyfriend is not abusive or anything. He really did just get tired of her...
Bullshit.
Of her bullshit.
Right.
But there was a part in the movie where I felt like she started to recognize that she became that person because of how he treated her. It's hard to explain.
Right.
But in any case... He was trying to control how she behaved.
Right.
Jason Sudeikis' character is trying to control how she behaved. So she's got this tug of war going on.
Right.
And that's where the movie, kind of the catalyst of the movie, really takes off, the climax.
Right.
It is...
Where she comes up with a very ingenious... We won't spoil the ending, but she comes up with a very ingenious way on how to fix her problem.
Yeah.
And it was really good. I liked it a lot. I was... The only thing that got me about it is that kind of made me... it's just the stark shift in tone.
Yeah,
like I was just like, whoa.
And it is. It is a huge shift in tone. Like the whole movie up until that point is pretty much all about being funny. Not always laugh out loud funny, but at least like this whole situation is kind of comical.
Right. Yeah.
I would say it's not a dramatic shift from like some slapstick comedy, right? Because,
right.
I mean, she is an alcoholic who's trying to get her life
together. That's true, too. That's
it's
true, too.
It's got the serious nature right. to it. But, yeah.
It goes real dark.
The third act of this yeah. movie is completely, like...
Pitch black.
Pitch black in terms of what's happening to her.
Right.
And, I mean, he is... Jason Sudeikis, just what a asshole of the year yeah. type of decade.
Yeah.
Like, he is just...
Yeah.
A piece of shit. And he demonstrates, he has a very unique demonstration of his control over her
yeah.
with her when her ex shows up.
Right. Oh, yeah. That was yeah. fucking nuts.
That was just weird. I'm like, where is yeah. this going?
I'm like, where is
I'm
this
like,
going?
Oh, okay.
Oh, he's crazy.
Yeah,
okay.
He's just fucking nuts.
So what we're basically saying is get Olivia Wilde and those children
but
out of that
the
house.
Thing, but the thing is, it's not like this movie is without its flaws.
Right.
Like you say, the tonal shift is odd.
Yeah.
But it's so original. It's
yeah, oh yeah, yeah,
such
yeah.
a
yeah, very much.
Fun original idea. It's just fun to at least finally watch something original on screen.
Right.
That you know, it's not a sequel of something, or it's not some rehashed
right.
Or if it's a rehashed plot line, it's certainly nothing I've ever seen.
Right,
so,
yeah.
It's just fun to see that and yeah. The acting's great all around.
Oh yeah, yeah. Anne Hathaway's great yeah. in this, and Jason Sudeikis is really good.
Yeah,
in this.
And it's multifaceted too, because it's not like one tone is in Jason Sudeikis is just an asshole to her and nobody else.
Yeah, no. You watch him slowly turn.
You realize
basically.
That these two buddies that he's with, you realize that he's been controlling, manipulating them a
right,
lot
yeah.
too.
Yeah,
and that he is in the past has probably been shitty to them as well.
Right. And he's shitty to Tim Blake Nelson.
Yeah, and they've yeah. learned to deal with it, and now he's going to go back to being shitty again.
Right.
It sounds like he just gets to a point in his life occasionally where he can't bottle it in anymore.
Right.
He
yeah.
lets his true assholery out.
By the way, clean that up over there.
Right. But yeah, it's a really fun movie.
It was really good. It's a thinker.
It looks here to build as an action comedy. I'd say there's a lot of... I'd say it's a comedy drama.
Yeah.
A dramedy, I don't know what action...
Sci-fi dramedy.
Yeah, I don't know what action there really is.
Yeah, there really
isn't. It's not like... The monsters in it, it's not like they take screen a lot.
Right, they really don't.
They're a backdrop yeah. to the bigger problem.
The real action.
Yeah, so I never really... And I think you... I guess you kind of leaned in on it, but... I never really grasped why he, when they were little, did what he did.
Because he's just an asshole. He's just an asshole kid.
But he went over there to save it.
But I think.
Anyway, you don't get lost here, folks. There's a flashback scene in here where
that explains why they can do what they can
where
do.
Where they're kids and they're taking these dioramas to school.
Right.
And hers blows over the fence and he goes to get it.
Right.
She goes after him to see what happened.
Right.
And then he destroys it for some reason.
Right.
He steps on it. Clearly, it's because he's an asshole. But I'm wondering, why did he go there in the first place?
I think it goes back to what he was saying about how when they were younger and she got all the accolades and the kudos and stuff like that, and hers is better than his and stuff like that. And it was just like
that.
I think that might have been
that
first manifestation of his, like, you know,
jealousy.
Yeah, his jealousy.
He didn't even think about it until then.
No,
he realized. He realizes it's almost like they're in another world then anyway, because
right, yeah.
they're completely isolated. It's just
right.
them two. And I guess he realizes I could do this and no one will know kind of thing.
Yeah. He probably didn't see her or something like that.
No, because he does it after he looks at her.
I thought he just took it down and did it.
No, I thought it was, he looks at her because she's smiling and about thanking him.
Oh.
She's like, oh, but maybe they didn't make eye contact.
I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe that's possible. And he was just going to say, it got destroyed.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, maybe.
But in any case, in this moment, this is when her monster manifests. She
right.
gets super angry at what happens.
Right.
A lightning bolt strikes her in the head,
right.
which seemingly accounts for a lot of her memory issues. It's not
right.
just alcoholism.
Right.
And what I don't understand is why the robot didn't appear then, too.
I don't know.
That was
yeah.
something it didn't address.
Yeah.
Why the robot didn't also appear.
Yeah, yeah.
It's clear they didn't address whether it did or didn't.
Right. But he got struck by lightning, too.
Right. right. So you'd think they both... but in any case, we're getting into the finer details of this
yeah.
movie now. See it. It's a really yeah. fun original
it's
movie.
Really good. Yeah, it's very original.
Well, fun. It's fun
to
and
a,
dark.
To a point. Yeah, it's dark and fun.
It's dark and fun.
Yeah, so that'll do it for this episode of the HodgePodge Podcast. Definitely check out Colossal. And definitely skip The Circle, because that movie's not good. No matter how enticing it might be that Tom Hanks could be the villain, he's not really even a villain in this. It's not even that good.
No, I don't...
I mean,
I
like...
I,
it just wasn't good. Next episode, obviously, will be Guardians of the Galaxy 2. We'll try and get Matt, see if he can come in and guest on that episode. But yeah, we're going to be seeing it Thursday night, hoping it's going to be great. But that'll do it for us. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening, folks.
Thank you.